welcome you to tonight's Monday, February 5th, 2018 workshop. And if you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the decisions that we make tonight. Okay, now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1D is roll call, and we have all council members except for Gina Doro here tonight. Entertain a motion to excuse Gina.
I'll make the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those. Hold on. Not so fast. Gene, you want to withdraw your motion?
I'll withdraw my motion, excusing Gina, since she's here.
And make note for the record that Gina has arrived at the meeting at 6:31 p.m. And so now, having all members present, we'll move to item 1E, which is our citizen input. And tonight, is there any citizen who would like to give input? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to the approval of tonight's agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
Take that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So now I'll move to current business. And tonight, a request was made of me by a former fellow high school student and friend of mine for years. His dad used to work for the police department, and his name was Johnny Jones. And so I have a proclamation of honor to honor him. And so, Spencer, you have some pictures. This was Johnny Jones. He was a member of the Othello Police Department, I believe, from 1966 until from June of 1966 to November of 69. And so let me read this proclamation, and you'll find out a little bit more about this gentleman. Whereas the mayor of the city of Othello wishes to honor the memory of Johnny Jones, and whereas Johnny was a City of Othello police officer in good standing from June of 1966 to November of 1969, and whereas, in addition to being a fine father, a fine husband, father, and grandfather, affectionately called Papa, he was an active citizen in Othello, raised his family here, and served Othello with honor and distinction. And whereas, during a long and productive lifetime, he demonstrated in countless ways his dedication to the welfare of others and earned the respect and affection of people from all walks of life and all ages. And whereas he lived in his quiet way and became a force for good and a stabilizing influence on those around him. Therefore now I, Sean R. Logan, mayor of the city of Othello, on behalf of the city of Othello Police Department and city council members, do hereby present this proclamation of honor to the family of Johnny Jones, along with a City of Othello Police Department patch, commemorating his many years of service to the citizens of Othello, of the City of Othello, and we mark this glorious occasion by bestowing this small token of our esteem and gratitude. Now, in witness whereof, I do hereby set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Othello to be affixed this fifth day of February, 2018. And so I'm going, his family lives in Colville and they couldn't make it here tonight. And so he asked if I would read this and this proclamation, which I created in conjunction with Becky. I'm going to sign this proclamation and then we're going to mail the proclamation and the patch to the Jones family. So, okay. Moving on. on our current business. Item B, discussion of hiring Meg Van Schurl, project manager and grant writer from Gordon Thomas Honeywell. And tonight, we have the pleasure of having Meg Van Schurl with us. She's come over from Olympia, and you guys have already heard some stories about Meg, and tonight she has a presentation for the council. So please, Meg. I think, oh, she's going to hand these out. Yes. Okay, Meg, yes.
Okay, good evening. Well, it's a little daunting to hear that stories have gone around about me already. So hopefully good ones. Good evening, Mayor Logan and council members and Mr. Ferris. I'm Meg Van Schurl, and I work for Gordon Thomas Honeywell Governmental Affairs. I am really happy and excited to be here tonight to give you a presentation about the possibility of providing some project development services to the city of Othello in the future. So in the next few minutes, I'd like to cover my professional background, my current role and services that I provide, and how I would propose partnering with the city of Othello to move some of the important projects you have from concept to reality. And in the packet that you have in front of you, on the right-hand side is the presentation that I'm going to do, the PowerPoint presentation, and on the left side is the proposal itself. So a little bit of my background. I joined Gordon Thomas Honeywell Governmental Affairs in 2016, after 35 years of working in both the legislative and executive branches of the state government. And I know you're thinking I started when I was about 10, but unfortunately not. I spent my career in four agencies, and you see them listed on the PowerPoint, the Washington State Senate, the House of Representatives, the Department of Community Development, which was the precursor to the current Department of Commerce, and the Department of Agriculture. I think the most relevant of my experience to the discussion here tonight was, for one, my decade at the Department of Community Development, where I was a manager of several infrastructure, economic, and community development funding programs. The second position that I think is most germane is the House of Representatives. I was a senior staff coordinator for the House Capital Budget Committee. And as you know, that's a committee that where the capital budget, usually on a biennial basis, is drafted, negotiated, and produced. And so I was in charge of that process. So as a result of these experiences, over the 35 years, I have a strong network of connections in state government especially, but also some in the federal government, a clear sense of how things work in Olympia, in both the budget and the policy and program arenas, and expertise in identifying available external funding for local projects. As far as my current role, my background and my skills were of interest to Brianna Murray, and I think you know her. She's your lead lobbyist, and she's the vice president with Gordon Thomas Honeywell Governmental Affairs. Ever since the recession, Brianna had noticed that her local government clients were getting more and more, having more and more difficulty getting earmarks in the state budget, in the capital budget and the transportation budget. It used to be a more simple process where local governments would go to their local legislator and request funding direct from the legislature for a capital project or a transportation project. But ever since the recession, when the funding became more scarce, legislators were starting to ask very difficult questions of local governments and really trying to gauge whether the local governments had done their due diligence before coming to the legislature asking for an earmark. And many of the local governments really don't have the expertise, but mostly they don't have the time and the bandwidth to be able to navigate the rather complex environment of grants and loans and financing mechanisms at the state and the federal level. And so as a result of this lack of time and bandwidth, local governments were missing out on a lot of opportunities to get funding for their local projects through competitive state and federal grant programs. You have at least one example that I've heard of in Othello, your skate park, skateboarding park, which I understand was paid for totally locally. But actually, there are programs at the state level where a pretty significant chunk of that project could have been funded had the city put in a competitive application for those funds. And so late in 2016, after I retired from the House of Representatives, I reached an agreement with Brianna to join Gordon Thomas Honeywell and bring my skills and experience to a new line of services for them called Project Development Services. So a little about Project Development Services, which I've been developing over the last year. Really, what they're for is to help local government clients, and in some cases, nonprofit organizations, to advance projects from the vision of the project to actually being on the ground. The services such as project framing, funding strategies, grant writing, and project management, all are activities that help get a project able to secure, well, first of all, to pursue, secure, and then effectively use grant funds, loan funds from external sources. So for example, project framing includes being able to state what the need is for the project. Is the project feasible? Doing some work on feasibility of a project. What should the flow of the project be from beginning to end? Funding strategies, doing research on what are the sources of funding that might match up with the project that the local government is trying to do, and what are the tactics to get from pursuing those funds to securing them. Who's responsible for doing what? Because many of them are multiple months, multiple requirements. They're not necessarily easy, and so there needs to be a pretty objective and logical approach to trying to get these external funds. Grant writing, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Doing drafting of grant applications, facilitating meetings between funders and the local governments, and tracking progress of applications as they get submitted. And then finally, project management. In the lucky event, in the good event that you actually get an award of funding, there's strings attached to that. There's reports required from that. And so I can also provide that kind of service. And really a lot of this is just, all of this is about helping increase the bandwidth at the local level. Oh, I should go back. So I have been working the past year. I've worked with six cities and two counties on various aspects of project development services. Really just depends what the local government is looking for. So I have done some presentations on Capital Budget 101, if people think that that's kind of a mystical process. I've created a grant-seeking protocol for one city where they wanted to have an orderly process by which they went after grants. I've identified potential fund sources for 30 projects for a single local government. Where a local government has a specific project that they know they want to do, I've taken kind of a deep dive into fund sources for that project. And I've written applications for legislative earmarks, and I've initiated meetings between funders and local governments. So just to bring it to a fellow, I first met Mayor Logan and Wade Ferris at the AWC conference last summer in Vancouver, and that's where I started learning more about Othello and your vision, your objectives, and actually then your successes. I've been, you know, having been involved with the capital budget for a number of years, I was amazed this past, what was it, a month ago, when the capital budget finally passed in Olympia, and the city of Othello had $3 million for your regional water supply initiative. I mean, I know how tough it is to get that money, and so I was very, that was something to really be admired, that you accomplished that. Last month, the mayor and I spent some time talking, and then later I also got the opportunity to spend some time with council members Doro and Lalas. And based on the conversations, I took the initiative and set up some meetings for them in Olympia. We met with a grant manager, for example, at the Recreation and Conservation Office, which is the place that has a lot of money for local parks and conservation projects at the local level. It was there that we found out that if Othello goes in for a local parks grant this round, which actually the applications are due in May, if you go in for a grant in this round, you'll only have to come up with 10% match. So 90% of a project you could have paid for, not locally. So that was a revelation. And on top of that, it turned out that the grant manager was very familiar, excuse me, with the Google map that the mayor was showing him. Turned out the grant manager had gone to Othello High School. He had grown up in Othello. And so definitely had an appreciation and a soft spot in his heart for Othello. Later, we went to a meeting with the director of Department of Agriculture that I had set. And there, the mayor and council members talked a little bit about farmers market and some of the ideas for that in the future. And I don't know, it was maybe 10 minutes into the meeting, the director asked if we thought we could use $50,000 for a feasibility study for that project. I mean, that doesn't really happen. So kind of a tough standard to beat there, but I think that the meetings that I set up far exceeded even my expectations for them. And they were kind of a combination. I think it demonstrates that I do have connections in Olympia and I'm willing to use them to help clients. But it also, I've learned over the past few weeks that there are some key people in Olympia who really have a soft spot in their heart for Othello, and the director of agriculture was one of them. And that was, I think, a big part of the reason that he made that offer. So the project or the proposal that I'm bringing to you this evening is based on what I've learned about Othello, and really the vision and I think the opportunity here, I would really enjoy and like to be a partner with you in the future on helping bring some Othello projects to reality. So this proposal, this in your packet, would include 5 projects, and these come from conversations that I've had with the mayor and with the council members. So a splash pad in Lyons Park, a Park West project, a Park South project, Civic Center, and Farmers Market. The timeframe for my work would be now until the end of 2020. The cost would be at a rate of $22.50 per month, not including expenses. And so, for example, for 2018, that would amount to about almost $25,000, and then $27,000 in each of the subsequent years. With that, I'll conclude my presentation. I hope that it's given you a clear sense of my background and my skills, and has given you some confidence that you would get a return on your investment from me. Thank you very much.
Questions, counsel?
I don't have any questions, but I just want to inform the council that the day that we spent with Meg was a really productive day. Meg knows everybody in the offices. The people that are actually writing and doing the work, she knows everybody. Now, she was being a little bit, not saying too much about the visitation we had with the Washington State Department of Agriculture, head of the department. But, I mean, it was like old homecoming week when we walked in there with Meg. He knew her, you know, and it's like right away you got the feeling he's going to, whatever I can do, I'm going to do for you. What do you need? And he looked at Sean within a few minutes. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was within a few minutes. He looked at Sean and he said, well, Sean, what do you need to do this feasibility study that you're going to be doing? How much do you need? And Sean looked at him like, what, am I supposed to give you an answer? You know, I mean, what do I say here? And luckily, Sean hesitated long enough because he threw out $50,000. He just come up with a figure. If I give you $50,000, would that be good enough? And, of course, Sean said, yeah, sure, that'd be fine. Meg agreed that, you know, they don't throw things out there like that. They don't even, according to Meg, they don't even give like $20,000 or something like that. But what it will, basically, if we follow through with this, it's in his mind, it's fresh, we should be able to get the $50,000 from Washington State Department of Agriculture to do a feasibility study on what type of farmers market we need to have here in this city, the city of Othello. Right there, she's paid for her salary for a year twice, but she's got her, you know, got her hooks into a couple of other things that could get us money for some of these parks that we want, and they're little bits and pieces of funding that come from different places we've never thought of going to get funding. I'm personally in support of this. I know that we had made a bad decision earlier with regard to the individual we had before that we thought would write grants for us and stuff. And I have talked to Wade about, I do think we have valuable information from that strategic planning session that we conducted. I think we all had good ideas, and we had a lot of information that we put out there. And these are some of those things that we discussed in that strategic plan. My question would be that if we come up with new ideas and new things to pursue as they get added onto the list, other than, you know, I mean, you'd just take those on as well, right, Meg? Or would you just stick to the items on the list?
Well, I think it would depend on how much work those other things would generate.
So we get a feasibility study conducted, and you follow it through, but it doesn't take 2 years. It takes, you know, a year.
Right.
Now that's knocked off the table.
Right.
Then we go looking for funding or whatever we can do, right, to get grant money to fund that. But can we bring something else on board and have you pursue that?
Yeah, I think as long as I have the time, the capacity to take that on, yes, I would be open.
Let me phrase Sean's question another way, Meg. I think one thing he's trying to say, I believe, is, and the question I have is those, if you go back to that slide with the things that Dagwood's going to do, let's say that we do some little pre-investigating and find out that a park south is just not within the realm of possibility, as for instance, and we decide that there's some other thing that we could do, maybe up north. We could remove and replace then, perhaps. You know, those priorities would change. We find that maybe a civic center is something we can't do now, but maybe 6 or 7 years down the road. So we put something else in. I think that's what John's talking about. Yeah. As much as anything, is as we go through, you know, things change, priorities change. So we don't want to be locked in, I don't think, to those those five things there. We want to be working towards them, if that makes sense.
No, that
makes sense. With this particular individual council, we have somebody that knows the system. We have somebody that knows the people, and this is the kind of direction that we need to go when we're looking for somebody getting money for us, grant writing and things like that, for areas that we never consider before.
My outlook on this right now is that Sean, you and a couple council members have been spending some good time over there. You've met some good people and showed a little interest to where's Othello, and I think they might know now. But what I'm saying is, you keep knocking on the door, pretty soon someone's going to answer the door and say, what do you need? Mm-hmm. How can I help you?
You know, I couldn't agree more, and I think that incident with Director Sanderson of Agriculture is a good example that John pointed that out.
Well, even with Rob, I mean, we've been going over 3 years now, and the first time we met with Rob, you know, we went, you know, hat in hand, like, you know, give us some money. We need some money. And he's, you know, his first comment was, have you talked to the agencies? And same thing with the legislators. Have you talked to the agencies? We don't have the money, they do. We can recommend that they spend the money with you, but you got to talk to the agencies. You got to go to the DOE. You got to go to the Department of Health. And this time we went back and saw Rob. He knew everything about what we had, you know, been able to accomplish with the capital budget. And he congratulated us. And he said, you guys did it right. And that's kind of what you got to keep going through this process. And we've done it in 3 years, and we got $3 million.
So what I view this, to add to what John and Larry are saying, well, the way I view this is that we're outsiders, basically, to Olympia, even though as much as we're trying to become insiders or even just known, I think we are getting known. Othello is getting known, and different agencies around the state are hearing about us. But to bring it to the next level, we need professional help. We hired Gordon Thomas Honeywell and Brianna and Hannah, and they're doing an excellent job for us. But one of the other things is with Meg, she brings the other part with the knowledge of the programs and the grants and through the agencies. She brings the connection with the people who actually make the decisions. And this is something that we've never had that kind of influence. And so what we're not only just buying influence when we enter into a contract with her, we're also getting the expertise as to how do we get this project off the ground. Because, you know, we've talked about this farmer's market for I don't know how long. We talked about the skateboard park for 5 or 6 years before we finally ever, I wasn't even the mayor when you guys were first talking about the skateboard park. So I know they take a long time to develop. Why? Because Wade and the staff are busy running the city. They're doing, now they can work on stuff like this in bits and pieces, but they don't have the time to devote. And we need people who can help us take a project like a splash park or splash pad in Lions Park and get that off the ground. And we might be building that next summer if we get this grant.
So the money would be available in 2019.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the next summer after this.
You know, how many times have we sat with Terry and said we need a new bathroom? $150,000 bathroom in the center of Lions Park. And every year, we're like, no, we got to move that to the side because we don't have the money for it. Or we would, and we do, but we also need police cars. We also need this and we need that. And so part of this presentation that we found out that we make for this splash pad is going to include $150,000 bathroom for Lyons Park. So we might get the money to do a lot more. I guess it's a new way of doing business. Instead of paying everything out of our pocket, now we're gonna get help. And this is a new way of the city doing business. Now I want to go back to the farmer's market. Meg got us a meeting with the Port of Olympia and her husband. Why don't you explain to the rest of the council about that meeting with the Port of Olympia, and then John and Dina, I'd like them to chime in.
When I heard that Othello was interested in having an expansion of the farmer's market, the first thing I thought about was in Olympia, we have a farmer's market, and it was developed during the time that my husband was a port commissioner on the Port of Olympia. And so I called the executive director of the port and asked if he would meet with us. And also, I invited my husband to join in because he actually was there when they did this, and the executive director had come afterwards. And so we had a meeting about, you know, the fact that in Olympia, it is a joint port, city, and farmers market association farmers market. It's on port property, and the city leases the space from the port. And then the farmers market, the vendors pay fees to the city, and then the city pays the port lease, which they have already paid off the original bonds for that facility. But I thought that might be just an interesting case study for the council members and the mayor to see.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was very enlightening, and I've talked to Wade about it since, that the port district, the Port of Olympia, and it's the Port of Olympia, not Port of the county, you know, that Olympia exists in. It's the Port of Olympia, reclaimed a bunch of old land, built a facility, and have turned around and leased it to the city. Now, the city works in conjunction with the Farmers Market Association. It's an association of businesses that rent spaces in. They're an independent board, and they make decisions on how to operate the farmers market. But they pay to the city for the right to use that facility. And the city's just a go-between between the port district and the association. And that's how we should be looking for, you know, if the port has land available that we could utilize, and we could get the port to build something for the city of Othello on port land, and we could lease it from them, and then we could develop an association of vendors that would, you know, come to our farmers market. You know, just because we're a small town doesn't mean that we couldn't have a huge farmers market, you know. And those are the kind of things I'm hoping that the feasibility study will look at and get into with regard to a farmer's market. You know, we could pull vendors from Royal City, we could pull vendors from Connell, we could pull them from Moses Lake. I mean, if we had a facility that was better than Moses Lake's facility, we may be getting people coming down here from Moses Lake, you know, depending on who the vendors we could attract would be. But those kinds of things, you know, you dream big. But when I saw what those guys had been able to do with the cooperation of the port, and we haven't even considered the port as a source. See, one thing the port is able to do is generate revenue off of tax dollars, meaning they can actually make money with money that they've collected with public money, where city can't do that.
Well, John said a lot of it, but it just, each meeting we had that Meg set up on the first day that we were there in Olympia, it just showed that to have somebody of her caliber in our corner with her connections, not only with the agencies, but with within the legislative body itself, and even outside of there. I mean, setting up a meeting with us and the Port District, and being able to glean information from them on how they set up their governing body for their farmers market, and how they developed the idea from, you know, from idea to the reality. It was so informational. It was so helpful. And I just see how much she is going to allow us to do through her professionalism and her connections.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Any other questions of Meg?
I just had one on everything I see here is like for parks and stuff. Do you do anything like with the infrastructure or anything like that?
Yes, I do. If that's what the city wants me to work on, then yes, definitely.
We've got some pretty bad roads.
Okay, so, yeah, the right now, the way we're set up, Varela is the one working on the grants for the infrastructure. And one of the things that Brianna, our lobbyist, mentioned to us is that the city of Othello is eligible for WSDOT money. And if we had a project or some things that we, like the roundabout on Highway 26 or other types of things like Lee Road, we might be able to get funds out of the WSDOT budget. Because there's a transportation budget, there's an operating budget, and a capital budget at the state. And that's something that our lobbyists would help. In addition, as Meg is putting this together and these funding, so let's say we get a funding plan and we want to do a farmer's market and it has a figure on it. Our lobbyists work in conjunction with her to help her get us earmarks to do that, and that could also include any project that we're working on for infrastructure. Now, some of these projects are going to require infrastructure to be developed, but I'm very impressed. I just feel very good about the direction that we're now, I think we learned quite a bit from our last contract what it is that we don't want, and now I think we've seen a very good taste of what we do want. And so I'm just asking, is this a consensus? You guys want me to bring this contract before you next Monday?
Yes. Yeah, let's bring it up for a vote and see what happens.
Okay.
Looks like we got the A-team, huh?
Yeah, we're bringing the A-team, all right. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for making the trip.
Okay. Item C is a discussion of the restructure of council meetings. We discussed it, I believe it was the last meeting, and we put this on the workshop agenda. The city, let's start with Becky. Becky, the city is only required to have one city council meeting a month. Is that correct? By RCW? I know. What she said earlier was today that we're only required to meet once a month. That's not my suggestion tonight. We conduct way too much business to only meet once a month. And so otherwise we would have 4-hour meetings once a month, and I'm not really into that. So one of the questions that we were discussing at the last meeting was about workshops and about whether we wanted to dispense with the Wednesday or the first Monday instead and change it to a regular city council meeting so that we can conduct business, because unless it's some kind of an emergency, we've declared that we aren't going to, by and large, make council decisions on contracts and on legislation and the expenditure of funds. So I just wanted to know what the council's opinion was, is that this has been a longstanding tradition in the city of Othello since ever, that the workshop and was always the first Monday of every month, and it was more of an informal discussion, presentations, and since I've been the mayor, we have dispensed with quite a number of workshop meetings. I don't know how many exactly, but probably in the last 4 years, at least 8, because we didn't have anything on the agenda. I would see that continue too as well if we didn't have, if we do change this to first Monday to be a regular council meeting, that we wouldn't have a meeting if there's no business. So I'm just asking, does the council want to continue to operate the way we've been, or do you want to open it up so that we can continue to make decisions throughout the month? And that's what this discussion is about.
I think it makes sense to make it a regular meeting because we have those months, and generally towards the end of the year, but we do have those months where we have a list that's, you know, 10 items long. And it would be, I think, you could still utilize it as a workshop type situation unless it, you know, needs to be, you know, we can conduct our regular business, but it would give us another meeting to spread out some of those those items when we have those months and to be able to get things done a little bit quicker.
Yeah, my feeling is they should all just be regular council meetings. If there's something that we need just as an informational, we can do that
anytime.
At a regular council meeting.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And I think it would help speed up stuff instead of having to wait.
Well, instead of having those months where we have those 10 o'clock, you know, meetings that go till 10 o'clock.
Or even going over things twice. A lot of times we discuss things on Monday and we go over it all over again so we can vote on it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think what Mark said, I'd be for.
Go over it once and vote on it.
John?
Yeah.
Angel?
Gene? Okay. Well,
is it in the body of our meeting that we should have a discussion period of any current committee meetings that have taken place so that the rest of the council can know about something that may be coming up 2 weeks for vote to the rest of the council that you've talked about in committee meetings? You know, an informal introduction to things that are being discussed in committees so that we can all share in that knowledge.
You can do that under new business down towards the bottom or unfinished business.
There is a section called committee reports.
Yeah.
We can bring it up there.
Yep.
And I would like that, though. I would. I think the council, I mean, whoever's on a particular committee, sharing with the rest of the council and even the mayor what has been discussed, I think that's just good government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would be a better use of
our time. Becky, to change.
So what will have to happen to change that is we will have to update ordinance chapter 2.04, because we have three sections, which 010 is meeting time. And 030 is workshop meeting. So what we will have to do is update our code and possibly eliminate 030 since they won't be called workshops anymore. They'll just all be regular meetings. And update the verbiage that regular meetings of the city council shall be held first, second, and fourth Monday of the month instead of the second.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have to amend our motion.
Okay. That's good.
We'll vote on it.
Yep. So, Can we do that by next Monday? If not next Monday, the fourth Monday.
I can do the, my best on getting a draft to Kelly before then, if you're okay, and hopefully you can respond back before next.
I wasn't going to mention this, but Wade said if we could go to Tuesdays, then that would free us up to...
What?
If you go to Tuesdays, it would free us up to watch certain national championship games and others on Monday night.
I have meetings on Tuesdays.
More importantly, the Seahawks on Monday night.
Yeah, come on.
One game a year. It's going to depend on whether they stand for the anthem or not.
If they don't stand, who wants to look at them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going for that. Okay, so, yeah, Becky, will you advance the cause on that? Okay, thank you. Item D is an update on our snow removal process for Main Street between 3rd and 4th Avenue. I think Rob Simmons had addressed the council, and so Terry, while no snow has fallen...
We've been practicing.
They've got to, yeah, they could...
That's right.
Just keep practicing, that's all.
Practice team out there.
So basically, adding to it, it was just an add to. We basically took a practice run on an inch of snow, the one fall we had. And I just dropped the last plow out. I just basically plowed to the curb line, about a buck's width off the curb line, and then dropped the last plow, grabbed the backhoe, and came down and... scoop that up within that third and fourth on Main Street. That's pretty much it. Nothing else changed. We didn't have a lot of snow so far, so that's about it.
Questions, council?
Nope. I read it earlier. It looks good.
So have you responded to Mr. Simmons?
No, I haven't gotten back to him.
Okay. Would you do that then?
I can stop
week?
In tomorrow and take care of that.
Very good, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move now to item four, committee reports. Is there any committee reports?
Got one tomorrow.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about our underground utilities committee?
Well, we could do that.
Just a quick couple of things we discussed. And
Corey and I showed up. Third member wasn't there. But anyway, we had some good discussions with regard to underground utilities. Okay, looking at the ordinance, we're all in agreement that we don't change the requirement for any new development. It stays underground, all the utilities. But we did realize that there's a need for fiber optics. And what we got to do is look at each individual company that's willing to put in fiber optics and have their permit represent something. Their right-of-way permit that they come and get from us is actually a permit for them to do the work and then to manage that work from the time that they put it in until the time that they're done with it. They take it down or whatever. So we're looking at doing some work within the OMC that would do that, give it some, where it would be an agreement between the city and like Knoll Communications or what's the
Northland
Cable, you know, that they have their agreement with Vista because they're using a Vista poles, but yet they're doing it in our right-of-way and they have to get a right-of-way permit from us. So we use the right-of-way permit to manage them. So if we see lines that are hanging and we know whose they are because we know that the person that put in for a right-of-way on that road was, you know, Northland, then we contact Northland and we tell them if they don't correct their issues, then we'll remove their right-of-way permit, and they'll have to pull it down.
That's the simple Reader's Digest version, but there's more to it. I've been, you know, one of my tasks was just to do some research on that and try and get a map of all those cables and stuff in town, which will then help us clean up some of the rat's nests that are up there, some of the low hanging.
That's one of the more important things too.
Yeah, identifying who has what.
Making sure the companies get permits.
Yep.
Yeah, how about that?
That's pretty important, keeping that.
And just for the.
Keeping it under control.
Yeah, for the rest of the council, I have been in contact with some higher mucky mucks in the North End Cable Company, and they were very apologetic about the issue that Corey brought to council a couple weeks ago. And we swapped emails several times since then, and had a couple phone conversations. So they're, you know, willing to work hard with us. He wants me to keep him informed of issues like Angel brought an issue to me today. I immediately emailed him. He emailed me back within a couple hours. And so I've got that line of communication up with Northland. So that's one. So I just got, four more to go to do that, but three or four more. So that's where we are with that. So hopefully we'll get within a few months, we'll get this totally cleaned up.
And because of the project that we were working on at McCain with Noel Communication to provide fiber optic, I've been discussing with Josh and telling him, you know, the city really wants to know who's got what and where, and what would you be willing to do throughout the city. And would you be willing to identify all of your lines so that we knew that those were yours? You know? And he said, of course. Of course he would, you know? And he would very much love to be able to network the town of Othello, and identify everything that he's putting in and work with the city to manage that. So, but, like, again, we can't give up the ship. We need to have control, and that's what we want out of the ordinance. And I kept going back to agreements, and Wade and Corey kept pulling me back to the ordinance, saying, no, put it in the ordinance. And I said, well, couldn't we just have an individual agreement? But they kept going back to bring it into the ordinance.
Remember why, though? Because the franchise agreements say that it will comply with the ordinances.
Yeah.
City of Othello. So that way we can change the ordinance without having. And those franchise agreements, one thing John and Corey forgot to mention, the one with the Vista is 25 years, is that what we figured out was? Yeah. They're long term agreements. Unless they violate the terms of the agreement, then we cut it off. But that's the reason to tie it to the ordinance, so we can change the ordinance and they have to comply with it.
So when they sign these right of way agreements, we have to have an ordinance in front of them that controls them on what they're doing. Otherwise, they're just signing and figuring they're never going to have to deal with it. That's it.
Is there any other committee reports? Is there any unfinished business?
Did we find anything else about the library? Did Terry get a chance to look at that?
The roof?
Terry, you want to give an update on the library, what you guys did to the library, reference what I briefed you on?
A lot. We did a lot of roof work up there on top. We patched some things that had some cracks in them. Some of the L-channel ring drip edges had some cracks in them. We had some underlying metal on the overhang that was actually not making contact. Somebody had actually put in a longer fascia board than was supposed to be in there from whenever it's been in there a while. The metal didn't come here, it came down here. So allowed this to drip down, run back, collected it, ran down, dripped into the sidewalk. So we fixed that. We patched the roof. We had some heat issues up above. On the roof, but we had some we got some really old breakers, and we got some really old Zinco boxes, which is very, very old. Probably needs to be upgraded. In there, they got the Slim Jim breakers in there on a 20, so you got really slim 10s to take it up because of the box space. There's three sub panels along one wall, and it needs a roof. It's just rolled roofing, tarred roofing. It's probably overdue. There's some ductwork up there that had some holes in it. We patched some of that. I was up there with part of that patching crew that went up there. They broke a light inside the library. We changed and had a new fixture put in. The janitors broke it. We had some tombstones in there that were bad on the lighting inside after we did all the upgrades to the energy efficient lighting that we did when we did the rest of the town. So we fixed all of that, and we haven't had anything since.
So what do you think the long-term prognosis of that particular building is?
I think if the city's going to hang on to it, you're going to have to put a roof in it, and I know for a fact that you should do the electrical upgrade. Your electrical's coming from just knife switches out in the outside area, running to some sub panels, and they've made some corrections in there, I think before my time, because I didn't do it, and I wouldn't have done it, where they've got some computer stations for people to plug in their laptops. They've actually taken a wall switch that run the lights where you can't shut the lights off, and tapped in there, run it down around the corner, and powered this whole run of desks, which that's not something I would have done because I couldn't shut the lights off in there to service them. I had to start cutting wires and twisting wire nuts, and I can't put guys in that position that aren't electricians. So the sub panels, there's three of them in there. They're not labeled. You got to find it. Very, very old box. The Zinco box reminds me of something you've seen in 1975 in a mobile home. It's hard to get breakers for them. I've seen them before, but it really needs an upgrade. So you need a roof and you need an electrical upgrade on your sub panel from your knife switches in. So you've got one panel to go to, and then you can isolate that. Because right now you can't kill one bank of lights in there unless you actually kill the power to the building when there's nobody in order to service it.
So you've got a $75,000 roof or $50,000 roof and a $25,000 to $40,000 electrical upgrade.
Nah, I can do it probably in 50 or less.
That's a flat roof, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably 50 or less.
For everything?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. You're talking one run down the side of the east side of the building. On the inside is where the electrical runs from north to south down that side, and everything there can be tapped into the box and ran back to make that happen. A couple switches. But then we put a TPO roof on top of Public Works here a few years ago, 15-year warranty on it. Same thing that's up on top of Cole Stores building over there, thermoplastic type of roof, welded seams. I think you can do it for under that. But that'll be a capital request if that's the case this next budget season.
That's a general fund request.
Yeah, yeah. Department of Agriculture got money for that.
No. Anybody have money for libraries? They're a tough sell.
And another request would be to sell the building to Mid-Columbia Library. Well, I think the amount of maintenance that we put in it, or going to put in it, they might be interested in it. I haven't.
They probably have to put a roof on before they bought it.
No, I don't think
so. The price is right on the building without roof.
Yeah, it all comes back, you know.
There's about 10 buildings down in that area that are 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do they pay the city rent?
Yeah.
Okay. That building's a liability.
We're not making payments on it. We own it outright, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
She's asked if we own the building outright.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that building's a liability.
It's property. It's real estate. We own it. We don't owe against it. You know, fix it up.
However,
it's not a liability. It's not a liability. Well, it's a library today. We got a bunch of vacant buildings sitting across the street right now. Just hang on to it, fix it up.
Could get some money from some bad cop cars. So, get a little extra cash.
Okay. Well.
But so far we don't have anything.
Okay, I guess.
Going on in there right at this time. Everything's been cleaned up electrically on that side.
Thank you, Jerry. Uh-huh. We should look into solidifying some of those costs that we need. You know, maybe when you have time, get somebody to look at the electrical, and then the membrane roof. Mm-hmm. You know,
find out what the costs are for next year's budget.
Yep.
How's the HVAC on that building?
How's the what?
The HVAC.
Oh, the HVAC?
Yeah.
It's three units up there.
Right.
We bounced between three. I think there's only one new, fairly new one up there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Any other? Thank you, Terry. Any other unfinished business? Any new business? Okay. Item seven is council will receive the Adams County Fire District number five, the fourth quarter report. Having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn our meeting at 7:31 p.m.